So we're looking at the Mishnah on the top of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah is talking about Iker and Tefillah. He viewed the fun of Maliach, so they brought him something salty and eats from it, Tchila. That's how he starts his meal. And Iker has to come first, and then the Tefillah is something that comes later. And the bracha that he makes on the Iker now is going to potter up the Tefillah. But if, for example, you eat the Tefillah first, then if he would eat the Iker afterwards, so he can't eat the Tefillah without a bracha. So it's only because he made the bracha on the Iker, the bracha can potter up the Tefillah. But we're not going to go l'mafreya and say that he can eat the Tefillah without a bracha, because later on, he glowed l'mafreya that it was a Tefillah, and the bracha that he makes subsequently on the Iker is going to potter up the Tefillah that he ate first without a bracha. Now, there is a Mishnah Berurah that quotes one opinion that if him ochel es ha-tofel, this is in Siman Reish Yud Beis, tchila, if he first starts with the tofel, then he doesn't make a bracha ha-re'uyolo. Like, so let's say it would be a bar priya eitz, bar priya adam. Instead, he makes a shahakal. But he brings another opinion that disagrees. But in any event, the Awa Tana says that tevil afon of moliach, and this is the Ikar. Pas imo, now they brought a pas, and the purpose of the pas is lahafig tam melichoso. So it's going to sort of neutralize the saltness in his mouth. Is mevarach al maliach, he recites a bracha on that which is salty, that's the main thing that he eats, that's the Ikar, and poter sa pas, and he no longer needs a bracha on the pas. Shapas Felulah, because the pas is only here because of the malichus of the ikar, of the Dovra Maliach. Zakal Kolshu Ikar Ve'imo Tfelah, Mevarchal Ikar Upoter Es HaTfelah. So this is a principle which already was mentioned early on Daf Mem Beis, because there it says, Birech Ala Pas Potar Es HaParperes. And the parperis is something that's kidelilapos boas hapas, but that might be a halacha in amotzi, in pas. The chiddush of our Mishnah is that even a pas can become tefillah. You would have thought maybe pas is so choshev it can never be considered tofel. Now this principle, as far as brachas is concerned, applies to a bracha lifnei ha'achila, but it also applies to the bracha l'achreha. And therefore the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Reish Yud Beis that if you eat moliach with pas, you're not going to make a birkas hamazon, because the pas itself doesn't generate a bracha rishona, it's tfela to the moliach. But nevertheless, there is a discussion in the Prima Gadim about whether he needs netilas yadayim before he eats the pas, even though it's tfela. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes a machlokes achronim on this very same point. Do you require an atil siyadayim before eating pas if you're not going to be making a bracha on the pas because it's tefela? And logically, we might be tempted to argue that he does need atil siyadayim because of whatever dinim, you know, the requirement atil siyadayim is because your hands are, you know, shnios, latuma, and so forth. So he doesn't want to be metami the pas. That could apply even if he's not making a bracha rishon on the pas. So the Gemara now asks, "Mi ikar midi? Is there such a thing? Dahavi maliach ikar pas tfela?" In other words, usually the pas is the ikar, and anything you eat subsequently is tafel. Omar of Acha Breder of Avira, Omar of Ashi bi ochle peros ginosar shanu. So the Mishnah is talking about someone who eats these peros that are grown around Yam Kineret, and they're very, very salty, very, very sweet, and Einam Nechalim Elaim Melech Harbe, so in other words, you need lots of salt in order to make sure that the sweetness, the intense sweetness, would not harm his throat, and therefore, in order to Now it's like a chadgadya, because now because of the sweetness he adds salt, and now because of the salt he has a harifas of the salt, so now he has to eat the pas together with the salt in order to neutralize the charifus of the salt. So it comes out that the pas is tefillah to the peros. So he makes the bracha on the peros and he patters up the pas. Now Tosus Divya Maschil Bi Ochle, which is on the top of the Ovud, he has a slightly different interpretation here. He says that we're talking about a person who ate Peros Gnosar, and afterwards he ate actually a Dover Moluah, not that he added salt, and this is called Lahoshiv Lev HaNichlash. In other words, his heart gets sort of weak, he's sort of overwhelmed and shooken up by the sweetness of the Peros Gnosar, and therefore he eats a Dover Moluah. After he eats a Dover Moluah, then he eats the pas in order to be mafik hacharifus min hamelach. Now, if that be the case, then the pas is only here for the maliach, and it's tofel to the maliach, as opposed to our interpretation, which is based on Rabbi Yonah, that the pas is tofel to the peros, because he's only eating the pas in order to counter that which was used to counter the peros. So we go all the way back to the peros. Okay, fine. Now the Gemara goes into a certain almost agadic digression about Peros Ginosar. Omer Rabba Barachana ki havas linun basrei, when we went following Rabbi Yochanan lemechal Peros Ginosar, and they were going to eat the Peros Ginosar, because Rabbi Yochanan was in Eretz Yisrael, ki avinun be mea, we were 100 students, and it says each one of us collected 10 peros. Wow, so if you're talking about 100 and each one took 10 peros, then you're talking about 1,000 peros. That's a massive volume of peros. If we were only 10 people, then so if we were only 10, each one took 100. So again, we get to the number 1,000. And these pairs themselves were so large that every 100 of them we could fill up shlosha sa'in, which is again a massive volume. So b'sach hakol, how much did they put in front of Rabbi Yochanan? You're talking about if each 100 was 3 sa'in, then if you multiply that by 10, you're up to 30 sa'in, a peres gnos aviochalahu. And what does it mean, viochalahu? So the marshal here has a girsa that viochalahu lekulhon, which means that they ate all of it, umishtava delo toim ziyuna, and Rabbi Yochanan took a shvua that he didn't taste the dovra mezin. So we'll have to see what that phrase ziyuna means. The Gemara is going to hopefully clarify it now. And again, you know, we find in many places that the Gemara tells us these stories about Amoraim that ate massive volumes of mazon. And again, this lechora is against a Gemara in Erev, and the Gemara says that macholo shel adam, you know, if you're talking about a regular rank and file person, he should eat asiris or eifa, and the eifa itself is shalosh soim. So you're talking about asiris or eifa, which is equal to the amount of man that we read yesterday that right. Came down from Shemayim for each person. If anyone eats that amount, then he's mevurach. If he eats more than that, he's called a rav ton, like sort of like a little bit gluttonous. So we're going to have to understand exactly what to do with this story and many, many other similar stories about Amoraim. But in any event, the Gemara makes an emendation now on the text of this story, the version that we have, ziyuna salka daita. Can you really take this literally, that Rabbi Yochanan didn't taste a davar hamezin? In other words, every food that you eat is mezin. So what does it mean that it wasn't mezin? Mazen means it adds calories. I mean, he ate this volume, the massive volume of peros, and he didn't get any calories from it. He didn't taste anything that would add strength to his body. Ela ema mizona. We have to change the gears a little bit, but instead of ziyuna, it should say mizona. And now we switch the word ziyuna for mizona, meaning that Rabbi Yochanan took a shvua that lotog davar hamezin. Mizona means mezin. Davar mazon. I'm sorry. So again, in the original girsa, it was a davar hamezin. Now he's saying it's mazon. Now, what's the difference between mezin and mazon? Mazon is a dover hasoid es halev. So again, there's a difference between zon and mazon. Zon means masbia, and mazon, zon is masbia. Chol dover chutz imayim melech ubechlal zeh. Aval mazon ein nikra el dover shemazin v'soed. Mazin v'soed, inyan sviya choshev yosef, a totally different madregas. You know, one is like it adds calories, and the other is that you feel absolutely satiated. So he took a shvua that he wasn't satiated. The Gemara is going to tell us a few more stories about Ginosa, but first let's get back to the question that we asked earlier about these massive amounts of food, quantities of food that the Amoraim were eating. And here the note I have, he quotes the note of Yehuda, and he says that when the Gemara says in Erevin that the shear is Asiris Ha'efa, and then he's not called a Ravtan, he says the following, that all that is Yachasi, it's sort of relative, La'odam Shesava Umosif Lechol L'Tainuk. Now it's if he feels totally satiated, and then he goes beyond Asir Se'efa for the sake of pleasure, that's called a Ravton. That's a kind of pejorative description of a person. However, if he continues eating not just to be Mis'aneg Ulamalos Tavoso, but rather he's not Saveh yet, even though he ate a massive amount, and he has to eat a greater amount than Asir Se'efa in order to feel satiated. And again, Rabbi Yochanan testified himself with a shvua that it wasn't mazon. Mazon means it wasn't soed, and he wasn't satiated totally. He had a limited amount of svia. Then he's not called a ravton if he eats more than the shear. Then he quotes here the Rav Yaakov Emdin in the Yaivitz. He says that the shear achilas ravton was said with regard to most foodstuffs, but with regard to peres kinosa, which is called divrei masika. So there's another gemara in Erevin, a little bit earlier. Anyway, the first gemara was on Pei Gimel, this is back on Pei Beis. The gemara says, ravcha lebesima shchiach, meaning that the me'ayim will expand in order to take in a dover masok. It's like when you fill yourself up at a meal, and then there's still room for sweets at the end. Is therefore, even a person who's rugil sometimes to eat because he enjoys eating and just for the sake of the pleasure, but nevertheless, if he eats sweet things, that's not considered a ravton. Fine, so this is what we have. Now the Gemara tells us about Rabbi Avo, Achil, he ate peres ginoser adavi sharikle dudva me'apuse, until a fly would slip off his forehead, because there was so much shamnunis, there was so much oily stuff that came out of his body, that his body became slippery. And again, all this is indicative of the impact of Peros Gnosar and how much Rabbi Avo had to eat. Rabbi Ami Vavasi Avi Ochli Ad Nosur Mizainu. It means until the hairs of their head would fall off. Now again, we're going to have a long discussion about this in a minute. Let's just go through one or two more stories. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Aviyachal, he ate Peres Ginosar Ademarid until his mind became a little bit disarranged. He got a little drunk from the Peres Ginosar, so to speak, tipsy. Right, and he couldn't get home. He couldn't. He didn't have the. He wasn't. What's the word I want to use? Put together enough to get himself home. Amalu, Rabbi Yochanan Lebenesia. So Rabbi Yochanan saw that his good friend Reish Lakish couldn't get himself at home. So he told the people who were, let's call it, servants in the Bein Nasiya, Beis HaNasi, that they should help and get Reish Lakish home. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya Belushe Abasre. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi would send. And that, now this Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is not Rebbe in the Mishnayos. This is a Nasi in the first generation of Amoroi Eretz Yisrael. And what is Balushe? Balushe, he says, Chaburas Anoshim. It's interesting because, you know, when you talk about private detectives in modern Hebrew, they use a very similar word, Balashim. Anyway, these people were sent by Rabbi Yehuda Nasi in order to look after Reish Lakish, make sure Maisi Lelebeis that he gets home. So the Achronim want to know these stories in this sugya are very, very tamuah. And he quotes here one of the Achronim called the Tabur HaAretz. I'm not familiar with it. That based, you know, a whole reinterpretation of this Gemara based on Reb Chaim Vital, the Mekubalim. He says that every single foodstuff that you eat has both a gashmi part and a ruchni part. It's made up of two elements. And Rav Chaim Vital was very famous for that. So the gufa machol, the physical, material foodstuff is gashmi, but the tam that a person takes in into his body, that's more ruchni. It's a little bit similar to reach. It's something for the neshama. Now the chilek haruchni in the machol, in the Bali Kabbalah, called Nitzotzos Kedoshim. And somehow the tzaddikim, when they eat these foodstuffs, they're mala Nitzotzos HaKedoshim. They somehow give an elevation to those, you know, trapped sparks that have been incarcerated in the food, in the Gashmis. Now, Peres Eretz Yisrael have a special Kedusha. Now, the Chelik Ruchni is even greater. And how much more so Peres Ginosar? Because they grow on the Sfasiam Kineris, which is Kodesh Ma'od. In fact, in the Yam Kineris is hidden the Beresh of Miriam. So the Peros are now nourished by the waters of the Kineret, which again, which are, so to speak, concealing the Beresh of Miriam. So they become, these Peros become very holy, holier even than the other Peros of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, these peros were the choice peros in the tam and in the mesikus, and the tam, as we said before, is the chelik ruchni, and this is why the chachamim would eat such large volumes of peros ginosar. It's only because of the chelik ruchni shebahem. Now he quotes another achron, the Ol Shem, who says from the Gemara here, we should interpret it as a derech melitza. We should not take it literally. In other words, whereas according to the Tabor Arts, we really take it literally that the Amoraim ate tremendous volumes of Peres Ginosar, we're going to now say that no, the whole story is just derech melitza. Melitza means it's all symbolic. And when Reavo says that he would eat until a zvuv would just fly off, slip off his forehead, that's a symbol of the fact that the eating of these fruits would give him what's called harchavas hadas v'seichel, and it put him in the mood for a madrega ruach hakodesh. Now the word zvuv in the Kabbalistic literature is a symbol of deos kosmos, and they're compared to the flies because the Yetzer Hara is always called a fly. So these are thoughts or ideologies that are antithetical to Torah. And because Rabbi Avov reached such a spiritual level, then the fly just slipped off. It didn't enter into his moach, into his machshava. So none of these Deos Kozos would have any impact. That's how spiritual Ruach HaKodesh reached. Ravami Ravasi would eat until the hairs fell off their head. What does that mean? What's the symbol? That means they had such Harkovas Adas and Seichel until they completely rejected this world and all the pleasures of this world. And in Chachmei Kabbalah, the pleasures of this world are called Saros. Reish Lakish would eat them until the point of Morid. And he says that the word Morid is indicative of Re'iyas HaEmes. He sort of rejected, Morid means he rebelled against all the pleasures of this world, all the Taivas, it's all Hevel HaVolim. He was Katsumas Bahem. So that his eyes were open to perceive the eternal truth that's completely separated, or shall I say, unaffected or unconnected to this world, which is Taivos and Hevel and so forth. And at this point he became Meturov. Meturov means he couldn't deal with this world, because Reish Lakish now was living in, so to speak, a truth on a higher level, a different world, a world that was disconnected from this one. And the Chacham didn't appreciate this. They thought that that's not the way God created man. A Nazir could be a Nazir, he's Parish Menola, but that's not for us. And therefore Rabbi Yochanan instructed Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, please, bring him home. What does it mean, home? The home is symbolic of the Derech Chaim Regil, of the normal life. And they wanted to speak to Rabbi Reish Lakish and calm him down and tell him he's getting off on an extreme way, which is asceticism, that's not the way of Judaism. This reminds me very much of the Rav's Ish Halakha Halachic Man, where he speaks against other religions that have this thing called asceticism. Kiyosu Rav Dimi Omar Ir Achas Hoysolo Liyane HaMelech Behar HaMelech Sheyemotziyam Imenu Shishim Ribui Siflei Taurus. Now these are fish, and what happens is that Yane HaMelech was very wealthy, and he owned an area which was called Har HaMelech, and on that place they were able to remove on a daily basis Shishim Ribui Siflei Sfalim are receptacles full of this small fish, Taurus. We call it, I guess, a tuna fish or something. And it was cut up, Lekotze Te'enim. And this was the food that he supplied to his Paul and his workers that were busy with harvesting the figs. And this is the amount that he had for them. And he fed them this massive amount of fish. May Erev Shabbos Lerev Shabbos. In other words, now we're talking about such a massive amount of fish. How would he need such a massive amount of fish unless he had a massive amount of workers? And this is all indicative of the wealth of Yanai HaMelech. Rabbeinu Chananel interprets that we're talking about herring, dag moluach, that they would eat in order to remove the mesikus of the tainim. They were working in with very sweet fruits, and I guess they would eat the fruits, and now they needed the dag moluach. And that would explain why this Gemara tells the story right here at this juncture. In any event, not everybody agrees with this, Rabbeinu Chananel. Yanai HaMelech was one of the Malchei Beis Chashmonoi, and he reigned during the period of Bais Sheni. And you can take a look at the Gemara Gittin that Yanai had 600,000 cities just on this one place called Har HaMelech. And each one of them had a population, Ki Yotzei Mitzrayim, 600,000. This was the massive city of Yanai HaMelech, the cities of Yanai HaMelech. Ki Asa Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amar Ilan Echad Hoyelo Yanai HaMelech Bahar HaMelech, he had one tree that I saw, and the birds used to land on the branches of this tree, Achahayim Oridim Imenu Arboim Sa'ag Gozlos Mishalosh Brechos Bechodesh, on a monthly basis. So it means Shalosh Brechos, three times they would go back to these brechos, I guess these the water, bodies of water where the birds used to lay their eggs, and they were arboim sa gozlos, again indicative of the wealth of Yanni HaMelech, Ki Asa Rabbi Yitzchak, Omar Irach Ashoysa Beretz Yisrael, before the Churban HaBayis, the Gofnis Shema, it was called Gofnis, and it had a tremendous population, such that Shahoyba Shmonim Zugos Achim Kohenim Nisuim Lishmonim Zugos Achios Kohenos. So you'd have 80 pairs, two brothers each Kohenim, that would marry Kohenos, meaning girls who came from Shevet Kahuna, their fathers were Kohenim, two sisters. So two brothers would marry two sisters. And this is something that wouldn't be common for two brothers to marry two sisters. That's certainly rare. But the answer is that this would happen so often. You know, you multiply 80 times 2, you get 160, right? There's 160 marriages of that sort. And this was because the population was so great. So maybe the solution to the Shidduch crisis is if we had large cities with great population. Bodku Rabbanan, the rabbis checked out the cities in Bavel from Sura till Nardov Lo Ashkechu. They couldn't find even one couple that fit this, you know, description that a Kohen would marry a Bas Kohen. Barmi Binse, except for the daughters of Rav Chizda, Davinis Simon. They were married to two brothers, Lerami Bar Chama, Mar Ukva Bar Chama. So this was quite rare, you know, that two sisters would be married to two brothers. V'afagav the Inu Havika Nosa. Even though it wasn't exactly like the city of Gufnis, like we said before, even though the daughters of Rav Chizda were Kohanos, but inu lo havi kohe, you know, it's even in that one case where two brothers married two sisters, it wasn't that both brothers were Kohanim and both sisters were Kohanim, or Kohanos, but rather they were Kohanos, the daughters of Rav Chizda. There are many stories in the Gemara about Rav Chizda and his relationship with his, how he educated his daughters. And even the Gemara is using this to illustrate the Churban, the impact of the Churban, that in Bavel, after the Churban, you know, the populations were so diminished, so much less than the populations back in Eretz Yisrael before the Churban, even in one single city. That's the impact of the Churban. Amar Rav, kol se'uda she'en ba melech eina se'uda. It's melech is necessary for the pas to be eaten with a certain taste. I guess the bread itself is a little bit tasteless unless you add salt. And the Gemara back on Daf Mem had already described that we don't need salt per se. It could be anything that's melafes bas, a pas, something that's eaten with a pas that adds and enhances the taste of the pas. So don't fool yourself and call it a suda. You know, and you invite your guests, or you make a chasen, and you don't even serve anything that's salty. Om Rav Chia Bar Avam, Rav Yochanan kol suda she'ein bo sarif. You know, it doesn't have some sort of a liquidy tavshil, meaning a soup of some sort, ein a suda. So you have to serve soup at every suda in order to give it a status of a suda. Now in the footnote, he writes here in the name of some of the Achronim that Hu Adin Lezayis Vitamar. Oh, so no, this we didn't get to yet. That's going to be relevant to the next Mishnah. So in the next Mishnah, we're going to talk about the Shivas Aminim, and the Mishnah is going to give some examples, but it doesn't mention Zayis Vitamar. That's also on the list. And the Mishnah is not giving an exhausted list of Shivas Aminim. In any event, the pasuk for Shivas Aminim is V'achalta V'savata V'achtos Hashem Kech Al Oretz HaTuva She'nosan Lach. That's the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon. And right before that, the Torah mentions the Shivas Aminim. So the Mishnah says, according to Rabbi Gamliel, Ochal, if he eats from Shivas Aminim, Shenishtapcha ben Eretz Yisrael, like Anovim, Te'enim, Rimonim, those are just examples. You could also add Zayis with Tamar. He's Mevarech Aleim Sholosh Brachos. You have to make a Birkas HaMazon, Sholosh Brachos, Again, the Gemara doesn't mention the fourth bracha that was a later takana at the time of Haruge Beitar, but the fabric or the mainstay of Birkas Hamazon is made up of three brachos. And that's Hazan, and then Hodah, and then Yerushalayim. And that's what he'd have to, he would have to be mevarech these three brachos after he ate Shivas Aminim. Now, what if he ate Chita and Siora, which is also listed as two of the Shivas Aminim? So it could be that that would not generate a Birkas Hamazon, even according to Rabbi Akiva. I'm sorry, even according to Rabbi Gamliel, my mistake. We didn't get to Rabbi Akiva yet. Because that comes under the halacha of Hakosis Sachita. It's not exactly a Choshev Achila. But with regard to the balance of the Shivas Aminim, all the five categories of fruits and produce of fruits, he would have to make a bracha afterwards. And the Gemara is going to ask immediately, my time is bring a Malil, and we're going to see that he derives it from the Smichas HaPsukim, because after Eretz Chita, Usiora, Megefen, etc., then it says, V'chalta v'savata v'irachta. However, Chachomim Omer V'orach Achas, which is called Me'ein Shalosh, what we call Alamichya in our language, and he doesn't recite Birkas Hamazon unless he ate a pas. Rabbi Akiva Omer Afilu Ochal Shelek. He goes even beyond Rabbi Gamliel, and he says that even you take a vegetable and you cook it long enough, v'hum mizono, and this is his meal. That's what he's going to have to use to satiate himself. That's what he has at this moment. Mevarach Olav Shalosh Brachos, because the Torah says, V'achalta v'savata uberachta, meaning whatever brings you through achila to svia, you have to make a uberachta, meaning you have to recite Pirkas Hamazon Doraisa, which is comprised of three brachos. Of course, the Achronim point out, even in the Bar Tanura here on the Mishnah, that he has to be koveh suda olav, and then he makes a Pirkas Hamazon, according to Rabbi Akiva. And this is all based on the Gemara above, on Daf Lamed Zayin, that Rabbi Akiva would be Mevarech Me'ein Sholosh on Tmarim. He would not bench Birkas Hamazon on Tmarim, but if he was Koveh Sud, then he could be Koveh Sud on Shelek, then he would have to bench after the Shelek. That's called Visavata. Hashose Main, do you make a bracha on water before you drink water? So it depends. Litzamo, if he's making the bracha for the hanos, drinking for because he's thirsty, is then he makes the bracha varshakol niyavidvara bitarfen omer borin afashas rabbis bechesronim, and after he finishes drinking, he makes a bracha achrona called borin afashas rabbis. Now the Meiri quotes a yesh mefarshim that according to the Tanakama, before you drink water when you're thirsty, you make a shakel, but afterwards you don't make any bracha at all. And Rabbi Tarfon is adding to the Tanakama that even lachreim, you have to make a bracha bori nefashos. Rashi and Tosfos are not learning this way, but that's the Meiri in the name of the Yesh Mefarsh. Now the entire nusach, the complete nusach, is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, borei nefashos rabos v'chesronon al kol ma she barasa. And the word chesronim here is a reference to lechem umayim she'i efshar biladehem, so that water is, you can't live without water. Al koma shebara lahachios bem nefesh kol chai. Lahachios bem means it gives life. So anything in this world, he says, al koma shebara ba'olam, if God hadn't created them, then we wouldn't be able to survive without them. But not only that, it says, Al Kol Masha, what's the nusach again? Al Kol Masha Bara, including to Lahach Yosbem Nefesh. The Al Kol Masha Bara is coming to include even things that were created for Tainug, which you could survive without them. Like, let's say you enjoy an apple, for example. So if you take a look at Tosfos back on Daf Lamed Zayin, Dibur Maskil Bora, you'll see this clarified. The Gemara says, my time of the Rambam Gamliel, why do we make a bracha, Shalosh Brachas, after Shivas Aminim? And he says to find a tziv in the Pasuk of Shevach Eretz Yisrael, it says, Eretz Chita, Sora, B'chule, and then it says, Gefen, Pein, Rimon, Eretz Eishem, and Dvash. That's Pasuk Ches in Perek Ches. And then the very next Pasuk Tes says, Uksiv, Eretz HaShalom is Kenus Tochal Bolechem. You can be able to eat bread. Uksiv, in the very next Pasuk Yud, it says, V'achalta V'savata V'achtas Shem Alkecha. And Rabbi Gamliel understood that the last Pasuk is going back on the entire section, on this whole unit. And even with regard to Shiva Saminim that I mentioned, you have to recite this Bracha D'oraisa Birkas HaMoza. But Rabbanan hold that there's a Hefsek here in between. And Eretz HaShalom Miskinos Tocha Lechem, let's emphasize the word Lechem, that wedges in between the Eretz Chita Sora, the Shvach of Eretz Yisrael, and the Pasuk that comes after the Eretz, which means Eretz Shetocha Lechem, namely V'achalta V'savata V'achta, that's called Hefsek HaInyan. And what's telling us is only with regard to lechem, then it's v'chalta v'savata v'rachta, but not with regard to shiva saminim. So the Gemara now asks, v'ram gamliel nami eretz hifzik, what is he going to do with the wedging here of eretz? And he says, ha'humi boy leile ma'ute akoses es hachita. As we said before, it's not all shiva saminim. We're not talking about chito sa'oro, we're talking about the five mini peros out of the seven. But with regard to the chito, the sa'ora, if he chews up and eats garine chita, kernels of wheat in their natural state, he doesn't bench birkas hamazon, because v'achalta v'savata v'rachta is only chitim v'sa'orim that he turned into bread, but not chitim v'sa'orim in their natural form. So that's what the Pasuk Eretz HaShalom is talking about. Lechem comes to teach me to knock off Chita and Siora from the list of seven. But with regard to the balance of the list, that's the Peros. Enochinami v'chalta v'savata uberachta. That's according to Rabbi Gamliel. Now, it could be that other Tanoim don't even need a special drasha to exclude Chita from a Chiv Birkas HaMazon, because according to it's Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel says that Eretz Chita Sora was said with regard to Birkas HaMazon, right, the first pasuk. And since Chita is included in Shiva Saminim, therefore you would need to exclude Kos Chita from Birkas HaMazon. But the Chachamim have a hefsek of Eretz Chita, and therefore of Eretz HaShalom Miskenos, which cuts off Eretz Chita, the pasuk before that. So there's no relationship between Eretz Chita and Birkas HaMazon such that you would need Lechem to teach me that we have to exclude, in this case, Kos Chita from Birkas HaMazon. Omer Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, Omer Rav Chanina, Kol Shu Mechamesh Saminim V'Tchilum Varach L'Avorim Minim V'Zolsum Sofum Varach Achas Me'en Shalosh. This is very famous, very familiar to us. If you make a tavshil and it has any of the five species of grains, then you make a bari mina mezonos on this tavshil, and then at the end you make an alam michyov, which is called bracha achas main sholosh. It's one bracha that sort of summarizes the main points of the birkas hamazon. Fine. Amar Rabba Bar Mori, Amar Rav Yoshua. Amar Rav Yoshua ben Levi kol shehu mishar shiva saminim. In other words, if it's not min dagon, betchilu mevarach bari priya eitz uvasof mevarach achas mein shalosh. So no, it's only with regard to mini dagon, which are the first two of the seven, that you can make it into a tavshil. And after you cook it and you eat it, you recite Bari Minei Mezonos and Bracha Achmein Shalosh as a Bracha Achrona. But with regard to the Peros, it's Bari Pri Ha'etz before the eating, and then Achas Mein Shalosh after the eating. Amaleya Baila Rav Dimi. So here we have a conversation between Abaye and Rav Dimi. My Ninu, Bracha Achas Mein Shalosh. What exactly is the nusach of this bracha chorim? Olay a peri ha eitz. If he's eating fruits, he says al eitz al priya eitz. If he's eating, and then he says v'al tnuvas hasoda v'al eretz chem netova rechavok. So he doesn't mention right now what he makes on Chamesh Yisminim, but if you skip a little bit in the Gemara, after the Nusach HaBroch, he says Al Chamesh Yisminim, he says instead of Al Eitz, Al Pri Eitz, he says Al Michvi, Al Kalkol, Al Tnuvas HaSodeh. And v'chosem ala aretz v'ala michya. We'll get back to the chasim in just a minute. So again, the nusach habracha is me'ein shalosh. And why is that? Because he says that ala eitz v'al priya eitz v'al tinuvas hasod v'yatz chem l'tov v'chova. He starts with thanking Hashem for supplying whatever mazon he needs. And then he thanks Hashem for the eretz that was given to Avosenu, lechem v'piri spoken to. That parallels the second bracha of Birkas Hamazon, which is noder. And then he goes on and says, Rachim Hashem, Elokeinu al Yisrael, Amech v'Yishlam, Yirechem, Mektishim, Yizmizbech, Mektishim, Yizfahayim, Ve'valeinu l'sochav. So that is a bracha that corresponds to the third bracha, which is Bonei Yerushalayim. And it could be that the last few words in the bracha, Ki Atah Tov U'Meitiv, that parallels the bracha Revius, which is called Atov U'Meitiv. But it's still called Main Sholosh, because the main part of this bracha is a parallel corresponding the three brachas Harikarios Min HaTorah of Birkas HaMazon. Now the Gemara says the chasima is ala arts ala michya michtam b'may chasim. What's the nusach of the chasima sabracha? And now the Gemara gives a little bit of an explanation of what the question was. What do you mean? What do you mean? What is the nusach of the chasima? We just finished giving you the nusach of the chasima ala arts ala michya, which, by the way, in the case of peros is ala arts v'al peros seha, as the Gemara is going to say immediately. After Yayin, it's going to be ala aretz v'al pri gafna. So what's Gemara asking here? So ki asa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, Amar, he said in the name of Rav, chasim v'rosh chodesh, in the tefilas musa v'rosh chodesh, the chasima is baruch ata Hashem akadish Yisrael v'rosh chodoshim. Usually we have a principle that there are no two motifs in one bracha, but here we can combine the two, because it's really not just Mekadesh Yisrael and not just Rosh Chodashim, but it means that once Hashem endowed Yisrael with the sanctity of Klal Yisrael, then they can be Mekadesh the Chodesh. So we're not Chodesh for a double thematic chasima. But Hachamai, but here in the case of Brach Mein Sholosh, are we allowed also this license of combining two different themes? Because the chasima is ala aretz, which is one theme, thanking Hashem for giving us the land, v'ala peros, or ala michya, for the food that we're eating. Is this a violation of the rule that we don't have two themes in one single bracha? We're very stingy. Each bracha gets one theme, and each theme gets its own bracha. And here, it seems like he's chosen b'shtayim. And basically the answer to this question is that we're thanking Hashem for the aretz that produces the michya, that produces the peros. In any event, the Gemara answers, Rav Chisda Omar, his chasima was al ha'aretz v'al peros sev, Rav Yochanan Omar, al ha'aretz v'al ha'peros. Now there seems to be a machlokas here at first glance. The Gemara is going to tell us now that it's not a machlokas. Do we say al peros seho, referring to Eretz Yisrael, or al peros, referring to general peros? Now, what's going on is that we see from Rav Chisda and Rav Yochanan that the ultimate suffix of the Gemara is completely nifshat, completely answered, because we're going to be chosen to dvarim. And it's not really chasim v'shtayim, because ala aretz shemotzia peros. It's all one inyan, as Tosus says, di ramaskel al. But we see that there's a chiluk between the two, Rav Chisda and Rav Yochanan. According to Rav Chisda, we're talking about peros seha. So we're thanking Hashem for the land of Israel that produced the peros. According to Rav Yochanan, ala aretz al peros, not for the land of Israel, but the land in general, peros stam. So we shouldn't mention Peros Eretz Yisrael, that's what it seems like. But Omer of Amram lo pligi, there's no machlokas in between Rav Chisda and Rav Yochanan. Holon v'holohu, Rav Chisda was in Bavel. And therefore, with regard to the Bavel, we have to be chosem al peroseh. We have to somehow actively connect ourselves to Eretz Yisrael, v'hola hu, but that was Rabbi Yochanan, he was from Eretz Yisrael, and all you have to do is v'yala peros, maskifle, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, di'inu achli, the Bnei Eretz Yisrael are eating the peros of Eretz, v'anan mevarchin, and we in Bavel are thanking Hashem for the peros of Eretz Yisrael. The Amin was that dafkin Bavel you should connect yourself to peros Eretz Yisrael. Ella says the Gemara, epuch, but rather we should turn it inside out. Rav Chizda Amar La'aretz V'ala Peres. Rav Chizda was in Chutz La'aretz, therefore you thank God for the land in general and the Peros in general, the Peros that could have grown in China, anywhere in the world, because Rav Chizda was in Chutz La'aretz, he was in Bavel. Rav Yochanan was in Eretz Yisrael, therefore the bracha should be Ala Aretz Al Peres Seo, because the fruits that he was eating in Eretz Yisrael were grown in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore after he eats Peres of Eretz Yisrael, it makes sense, it's very appropriate that he should emphasize in his bracha that he's thanking Hashem for the Peros of Eretz Yisrael. So this leads us to Mem Dalet Amud Beis, which Amir Tz Hashem will cover in the next shiur.